This is Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia, and my co-host, Dr. Danielle Shurer of the Medical University of South Carolina, is on the line. We talked this time with the author of a study on smoking cessation during pregnancy, which appears this week in the New England Journal of Medicine. Our guest is Tim Coleman, first author on that study, describes a placebo-controlled trial in which nicotine replacement patches, or a placebo, were given to about 1,000 pregnant women in the UK. The study's primary outcome was a self-reported and chemically verified quit rate between randomization and delivery. Secondary outcomes included shorter durations of cessation and pregnancy complications and outcomes. Dr. Coleman is in the Division of Primary Care at the University of Nottingham, and he does research in the UK Centre for Tobacco Control Studies. Welcome, Dr. Coleman.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me to talk to you.
Your paper investigates nicotine replacement rather than other drug-enhanced approaches to quitting. Why did you concentrate on nicotine?
Behavioral approaches, cognitive behavioral therapy, has been shown to be effective, so it didn't seem sensible doing yet another trial of behavioral treatment. And there was a consensus out there that nicotine used via nicotine patches would be safer than nicotine and harmful products of tobacco smoked. So it seemed a reasonable thing to do to test the nicotine patch in pregnancy because it could be effective for stopping smoking, and it also might be effective at improving birth outcomes by saving the baby from lots of toxins.
So the other drugs that are available, bupropion and et cetera, those are not proved safe in pregnancy. Was that why you didn't concentrate on those as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to say whether or not a product is safe in pregnancy. Yeah. And, you know, bupropion or varenicline may turn out to be safe in pregnancy if lots of pregnant women use them, but it's very hard to prove that. But in the case of nicotine, women would get nicotine anyway if they smoked in pregnancy, and they'd get that nicotine with quite a lot of other harmful substances as well. So there's quite a strong ethical case for trialing nicotine in pregnancy rather than the other two drugs that you mentioned.
Okay.
And you essentially found no clinically significant difference between the nicotine group and the placebo group in quit rates. Did this surprise you? Did you expect to find a significant benefit as far as abstinence?
We weren't sure. At the outset of the study, we had strong suspicions that it might not work and also strong suspicions that it might work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reasons for thinking it might work is that nicotine replacement therapy is effective outside of pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And using it causes almost a doubling of cessation rates, mm-hmm. irrespective of the amount of support given. However, pregnant women metabolize nicotine a lot faster mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. outside of pregnancy. They also metabolize cotinine. That's the primary metabolite of nicotine a lot faster. So what that means is that if a pregnant woman puts a patch on, it's likely, I mean, we haven't got any definite proof of this, but it's likely that the nicotine from that patch will be turned over by her body a lot more quickly. It's likely that the level of blood nicotine generated by that patch will be a lot lower than outside of pregnancy. And it's possible that lower level, if it does occur, wouldn't get rid of a woman's withdrawal symptoms from nicotine withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
and that woman might find it not a useful thing to do to put the patch on, and therefore it might not be used and might not be effective throughout pregnancy. So there was good reason to do the trial.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that same vein, you found that compliance was really disappointingly low. You know, 7% continued it up at a month.
This is
much lower than what other researchers have found in non-pregnant populations, correct?
I haven't looked in any systematic way at the compliance with NRT in studies of non-pregnant people.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, in studies of smoking cessation interventions like NRT, people use the treatment for a shorter time period than is recommended.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not compared what's gone on outside of pregnancy with respect to NRT in pregnancy.
Okay.
I do know that of the two or three smaller trials of NRT in pregnancy that have reported, that in those trials we found women didn't make much use of NRT, and compliance or adherence rates were quite similar to in ours.
Right, it was that sort of 2 to 3 week range that they stuck with it?
Yeah. I mean, in our trial, not many women used the patches, placebo or active, for longer than 1 month. And that's not dissimilar from the other trials that have reported adherence rates.
You mentioned just before about nicotine metabolism being faster in pregnant women. And in your paper, you speculate that higher doses then could be necessary. Are studies underway to examine that?
No. I mean, you're right to use the word speculate because it was speculation, and that's why we restricted that to the discussion section of the paper. No studies are underway at the moment. We're currently looking at our data to see if we can explain the non-adherence using some of the variables we collected in our trial. And I would like to do some more work with pregnant women to try and look at metabolism of nicotine in pregnancy and to try and find out when the increases in metabolism occur. We know they happen, but we don't know at what point in gestation they start to become established.
And so based on your findings that, I mean, essentially that nicotine replacement therapy really didn't alter cessation rates during pregnancy, would you, given, and you work in primary care setting, I mean, what are you going to do tomorrow? Is the recommendation going to be don't waste your time, it's not even as good as a placebo effect, or is it no harm, no foul, there were no significant, you know, changes between the groups and adverse events, and therefore, if it's seemingly harmless and it may benefit a small number of patients that maybe try it?
It's a good question. I mean, it's a very important, and I'm pleased you've highlighted it, it's very important to stress that we didn't find any adverse impact on pregnancy or immediate birth outcomes, and that's important. And I think before the study, I was much more of the opinion that it's going to be safer than smoking, and if women's really motivated to try, we should get them their behavioural support and give them NRT as well. Now I'm much more of the view that women should really, really, really try very hard with behavioural support alone. And the reason I say that is that the NRT, standard dose NRT, we haven't really got any convincing evidence that it makes a difference. And if a woman's motivated and puts a lot of her motivational energy into believing NRT is going to do the job for her, then I think, you know, this is speculation again, I think that could have an effect of making the behavioural support a bit less effective. You know, so that's speculation and it's clinical judgment. So I think I'm less likely to use it. If a woman said to me, really, really, I really must try, I think it's going to help me, then, you know, I don't think it's likely to do any harm, and it could help.
And there's probably no reason to believe that other modalities of nicotine replacement would be any more effective, gum or spray or the millions of other ways to deliver nicotine.
It's difficult to say. I mean, when you look at the data outside of pregnancy, you don't find any difference between the modalities. I can't think of a reason in pregnancy why I can't think of a physiological difference which might cause that to change. So I think you're probably right,
And this, Dr. Coleman, is the largest such study to date, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we randomized 1,050 women.
That's incredible.
And in all the studies before ours, there were 695 women randomized. So I think it's moved. I hope it moves the field on because it was a substantial effort. And it's a shame we haven't identified an effective treatment, but as a researcher, it's really good to have a valid and true result.
You've got at least a baseline now that you can work from on future studies.
Sure. And, you know, I think it's... There's a good case now for doing a study for a higher dose nicotine patch or other treatment modality in pregnancy, and the data we've got would actually help make the ethical case for doing that.
I want to thank you, Dr. Coleman, for talking with us today.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your interest. It's been very interesting talking to you both.
That was our 148th edition All earlier ones may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from Journal Watch, whose website is jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Ilya. Dr. Danielle Shurer and I thank you very much for listening.